everybody. Welcome to another episode of Crimes, Killers, Cults.
And beer.
It is true crazy Florida men drinking beer and talking about true crime. And we got a fun one for you this week. This is a part two of an episode we did a while back that, and y'all seem to dig the first one, and so figured we'll do another one. It's the last meal. So this is last meal part two. And when we left off with part one, we had just wrapped up with Marion Albert Pruitt, and we wound up covering him the very next week.
So, and we hope you're hungry.
Yeah, I'm thirsty. I had a rough day. They're all rough days for me right now.
Oh yeah, tomorrow's gonna be rough for me.
Yeah. So I was in the grocery store the other day. I was in there for 45 minutes. 30 minutes of it was trying to open the damn little produce bag.
Really?
You don't have
all those. Oh yeah, those really. Real, you pull them off those spools. You
yeah,
know, like you're trying, and if your fingers are dry, man, that sucks.
Yeah. Like,
oh man, yeah, those are a pain in the butt.
Yeah, it just occurred to me, since we're doing last meal. Well, where do you get food for last meal? At a grocery store, and yeah,
yeah, yeah.
I think we should get a quarter discount for every minute that we spend trying to open one of those damn things.
Yeah.
Like punch yeah. a time clock.
Yep, those things are worse than licking stamps.
Yeah. So, anyway, we'll just pick right up where we left off last time, even though you weren't here last time.
No, I wasn't.
It was just a couple episodes. It was two episodes before the Heaven's Gate episode, when we did part one of Last Meal.
Cool.
So, cool. So I figured this one we'll just back and forth it. I'll do one, you do one, type cool. of thing.
All yeah. Right. Yeah.
Right, I'll start with Alton Coleman. And this guy, him and his partner, Deborah Brown. That's a really, really plain, generic sounding name. Deborah yeah. Brown.
That's a, yeah, that's a plain Jane.
But the couple, they committed crimes that resulted in the deaths of eight people across the Midwestern U.S. during the summer of 1984. And he received death sentences in three different states, but it was Ohio that actually got to put him down. Lethal injection. And Brown's sentence was commuted to life in prison. I guess they didn't want to waste any of the poison on somebody with such a bland name.
Yeah.
So when asked for his final meal request, he instructed the guards to bring him a well-done filet mignon smothered with mushrooms, fried chicken breasts, and a salad with French dressing, sweet potato pie, whipped cream, French fries, collard greens, onion rings, cornbread, broccoli with melted cheese, biscuits, gravy, and a cherry Coke.
Wow. Not even a diet.
No.
Yeah.
But I don't know, man. I'm kind of for the death penalty in some cases, and maybe not so much on other cases. This one, I'm for it, even though we don't really know the details of his crimes, although just what I just read sounds interesting enough to get its own episode.
Yeah.
But he deserves to get put down for ordering a well-done steak.
Right? That, yeah, that's sacrilegious in and of itself right there, man.
Yeah.
And a filet, what was it, a filet mignon?
A filet mignon, yeah.
Yeah, why? That, oh. Yeah, you might as well just eat charcoal.
Yeah, I mean, and if you're going to order a well-done steak, you better not order a ribeye around me. That's a disgrace to the animal.
Yeah.
Disgrace to the cow. I mean, you know, ribeye is the best cut of meat on a steak, in my opinion.
I could see that in a beef commercial. You know, somebody cooks their steak really bad and the cow just looks back going, really? That's my fault. You got that look on your face.
I sacrificed my ass for this.
Right. That'd be that would be the next like beef commercial for the farmers there in the Midwest.
Yeah, definitely. I would like to see that.
Hopefully, like, kill the cow? Just take a little slice off it, let it keep going on.
Yeah.
Live the rest of its life.
That guy ordered the freaking truck stop buffet, like one of each.
Yeah.
Except for the filet mignon.
And what was it? That was, let's see, what was else in there? They, let's see, French dressing, sweet potato pie, whipped cream. Let's see, whipped cream. Hmm. French fries, collard greens. Huh. Now, this was back in, what, 84?
Well, his crimes were in 84, so we're probably talking like 90 or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. Well, yeah. Coke, cherry Coke. Yeah.
Well,
Coke.
One thing we were talking about on these, on the last episode that we did. Actually, no, it wasn't on. It was on the Mary and Albert Pruitt episode itself, where he had like a whole bunch of fried food and pizza and stuff like that. Maybe trying to load himself up and everything so it would make a mess when he died. But it's not going to happen that way. The food hasn't been digested yet. It's still in your stomach.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to wait a few hours.
Yeah.
Got to wait quite a few hours and stuff. I've always wondered that too. It's like, how long between the time of your last meal and the time that they zap you?
Well, not long enough to digest a stomach full of pizza and truck stop food.
Yeah. Now I'm wondering too, this is, I'm getting a little scientific here, but, and maybe looking a little into this a little bit more, but you know, maybe if we have some listeners that actually work in the prison systems and maybe we can, write back and comment and stuff like that, see how this system goes, that, you know, should you fast for like maybe a day or so, get everything out of the system and then have your last meal.
I mean, you can't have them go in there with on an empty stomach. That's cruel and unusual punishment.
Yeah. Yeah. But fast before you have that last meal.
Right.
Because then you have nothing before it that can maybe explode.
I don't know. Some of these ordered like two or three pizzas or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, they ain't taking a dump for a while. So which one you got?
I got, let's see, let me scroll down here on, there's a few of them down here. I decided to pick, Clarence Ray Allen. Looks like Buffalo Soldier here. And, Native American. At least he looks Native American. So he decided to take on his last meal, Buffalo steak, Kentucky fried chicken, fried bread, sugar-free pecan pie. Interesting.
Sugar-free pecan pie.
Whole milk and sugar-free black walnut ice cream was his last meal of Clarence Ray Allen. He let the ice cream thaw until he could drink it as a milkshake. And just like he did for his milkshake, Alan had gone the extra mile. to get himself put on death row. Allen's original sentence was life imprisonment, but in an attempt to eradicate everyone who might testify against him at an appeal or retrial, he then organized three more murders from his prison cell. And it was the second, it was this second crime that earned him the death sentence. Allen was 76 years old when he received his lethal injection at San Quentin in 2006.
That might be worthy of its own episode too.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a movie.
Yeah, it is. Oh man. But yeah. I do got to say, with all that, the whole milk and all that ice cream that he ate, he left a mess when he went, he made a mess when he went down.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Especially if he was lactose intolerant. He made a mess.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess he figured he didn't, he had nothing to lose. I mean, the guy was 76. He's like, 76. Why not? Yeah, what the heck? I'll just work in, work. I'm going to work from home. So, actually, one of my, my stepfather actually was a prison guard at San Quentin during the riots.
Oh, wow.
Years ago. So, many years ago.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But yeah, that, man, that's a shame though. It's like, what was it? Diet? Oh no. Wow. It could make a diet. A sugar-free pecan pie.
Ugh, yuck.
And whole milk. That's unless, well, that's the thing. It's like 2006. Okay. Yeah. It wasn't that. I'm looking at the timeline and stuff like that. I was like, well, it wasn't that far back, you know. Everything was still probably, you know, starting to get into that GMO stuff, you know, and, sugar-free black walnut ice cream. Huh. But that buffalo steak though, that must've been good.
You know, one time I went to eat at Ted Turner's restaurant.
Yeah.
And I've never had a chance to go to another one. This is, I guess, back in like 2003 or something like that. But they have bison burgers or bison steaks there.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And I didn't get one.
Really?
Yeah. And a big kick in my, a bison ribeye. I can only imagine how good that is.
Yeah. Yeah. Huh. Yeah, let's see. KFC, fry bread. What is fry bread? What is fry bread? Is that something different? Is that like...
Some people deep fry their croutons. They take bread and they deep fry it. It could be it could be the same thing, but like an entire slice of bread.
Yeah.
I don't like deep fried croutons, though. I prefer to bake them, season them, and bake them.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's good stuff. So I got one that we probably won't cover. We might, but lots of other podcasts have covered this guy. So we probably won't cover him. Ronald Clark O'Brien. And most of us have suffered a loss of appetite in our lives when we're guilty over some indiscretion, major or minor. But the saddest minor is D. but Ronald Clark O'Brien, he didn't suffer any such affiliation. On Halloween of 1974, O'Brien laced five candy sticks, pixie sticks, which basically flavored sugar.
Oh yeah.
With cyanide.
Ooh.
He gave one to his son, he gave one to his daughter. And he gave the other three to three other neighborhood kids. O'Brien wanted to murder his own children and collect life insurance that he had taken out in their name.
Jeez.
And the other three children were basically collateral damage to cover up his crime. To make it And he even, I mean, he even pointed out somebody, oh, it was that house over there that we got the pixie sticks from. The guy who lived there had an airtight alibi, though. It was only his son that ate it.
Wow.
And he didn't, and I'm going by memory from these podcasts that have covered this one. He didn't even do a good job of doing it. It's like he just poured a little bit out and poured cyanide in on top of it, and then folded the thing back over and stapled it. That's obviously been tampered with.
Yeah.
But only his son ate it, and he got, you know, sick like very quickly and died very quickly. And he was sentenced to death for the murder. And whether he felt guilty or not, I mean, just he had like blown a lot of his money. I mean, one of the podcasts that's done it is Texas True Crime, and Jessica filled in a couple weeks ago when we covered Bernie Teed, and she covered this guy over Halloween.
Yeah.
And but I've heard quite a few podcasts cover this one. No. But his last meal was a T-bone steak, fries with ketchup, whole kernel corn, sweet peas, a lettuce and tomato salad with egg, French dressing. What is it with these cereal these killers and French dressing?
I noticed that.
Iced tea with sweetener, saltines, a Boston cream pie, and rolls. He should have been denied a last meal because his son's last meal was almond flavored pixie sticks. Asshole.
Right.
But this was in Texas, so you know that guy, he wasn't getting away with that.
No.
So shout out to Jessica and Texas True Crime.
Yeah. Thank you, Jessica. Zaza.
You're up.
I'm up. All right. Let's see here. Joe Arity. Boy, picture's really old. Of course, it is an old picture, and it's happened quite some time ago. But Joe Arity, as he ate it, Joe Arity didn't understand the simple dish of ice cream would be his final meal. When his death sentence was announced, he continued playing with his toy train. The prison warden, Roy Best, reported that Arity was the happiest man who ever lived on death row. As he stepped into the gas chamber, Arity was executed after confessing to the murder of 15-year-old Dorothy Drain.
How was he allowed to have a train set in prison on death row?
I don't know. It was like, well, I guess if you give up something, you can get something. Maybe. I don't know. It's that is weird.
Yeah.
According to the picture, he kind of looks like a weird train guy. Yeah.
There was a podcast that I listened to. The hell was the name of it? Grinding True Crime.
Yeah.
And they did an episode on the Cookie Monster Killer. And this guy was like obsessed with his Cookie Monster doll from childhood all the way through adulthood and everything. And in trial, he actually asked for his Cookie Monster back, but they wouldn't give it to him.
Oh, man.
The host asked one of the co-hosts, just like, okay, well, what do you think he said in trial? After the sentence was read, And one of the co-hosts says, well, he dropped down to his knees. He threw his hands up in the air. He looked up to the sky and yelled, "Cookie!" I almost wrecked.
Wow. Man. So what's interesting is even though Arity was, made this confession of killing this 15-year-old girl, Arity didn't commit the murder. However, he was 23 years old when he was executed in 1939.
Well, if he was innocent then, and he was had his little train set and he was all giddy and everything, that tells me that that dude had mental issues big time.
Yep, and he was severely mentally disabled. There were several witnesses who could confirm Arity was not present at the scene. However, Arity had confessed, and in 1936, that was enough to condemn him. He was posthumously pardoned in 2011. So basically, long after he had been executed.
Yeah. Hell, the people that convicted him probably weren't even, there's probably not even anybody alive anymore that were involved with his trial.
Yeah.
So what's the point of even doing that other than beating your chest and grandstanding? Well, maybe to give closure to the family, but the families know he didn't do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
stranger than fiction.
Yeah. My next one is going back to another one of our potpourri episodes, Prison Tender. And I'm picking this one because we're gonna cover him at some point. But he had a whole big ordeal about, you know, he married this woman in prison. This woman was like an attorney, and this didn't happen in Tampa.
Really?
Yeah. One of his attorneys, I don't know. This woman left her husband, and her husband and she were like both very successful attorneys in Tampa. They were a power couple, you know, big time. And she threw it all away to marry this son of a bitch on death row. She divorced her husband, married him. And the whole thing was like on TV and all that stuff. One of the talk shows like Donahue or something like that actually covered it. Whoa. So yeah, we're going to cover old Oscar Ray Bolin Jr. at some point.
Wow. Yeah. That's, I mean, a guy, besides wearing the orange jumpsuit and stuff like that, I mean, he kind of looks like a guy that you would meet in like a professional office, you know, like a lawyer or a...
No, he wasn't a lawyer. He wasn't a lawyer. He was a truck driver.
He looks like one. The way just his, not judging a book by its cover, but if you were to meet this guy, you know, see right. him, you know, he looks like a guy that you would meet at a bank or...
Look at his eyes, though.
Yeah.
Those eyes look evil.
Yeah.
They really do.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is Tampa. but he ordered medium rare ribeye. Of course he did. That's my favorite. Baked potato with butter and sour cream. He's describing my favorite meal. And a salad made of iceberg lettuce, cucumber, tomato, garlic bread, lemon meringue pie, and Coca-Cola. That is like my sitting, everything there minus the lemon meringue pie.
Yeah.
And minus the cucumbers in the salad, because I like cucumbers, but they don't like me. But everything there, that is my idea of a perfect steak dinner right there.
Now, see, and that's the thing too, that meal is not really an unusual meal. I mean, that looks like a meal that you'd go into a regular steakhouse and have.
Yeah, it's a very good meal. Yeah,
very good.
Makes me want a ribeye right now. Wonder if somebody can send me some frozen bison ribeyes. If they're frozen, once you thaw them out, they'll be all right. Mm. If they're frozen like immediately after being cut, prepared. But Oscar Ray Bolin, he kidnapped and murdered three women, and he was only caught when his ex-wife's new husband had turned him in for a fourth victim, who he and two other men had raped, but they had let her live. And Bolin's own family testified against him in court. And then he got on prison tender, met a very stupid attorney, and made a spectacle out of himself. And we covered him on the prison tender episode, but he was put down by a lethal injection.
Huh.
Yeah, that's a good story. And he was a truck driver. Favorite meal. Truck driver. Lives in Tampa. I've never lived in Tampa, but I did live in Hillsborough County at one point.
Hey, yeah. That's not too far from me either. It's only a hop, skip, and a jump. Yeah. Huh.
So, all right, you're up.
So, this guy, Mr. Harris, Robert Alton Harris, when Mr. Harris here stepped into the gas chamber at San Quentin State Prison. Man, there's San Quentin again. On April 21st, 1982.
Hold on a second. I don't mean to interrupt you. When you were saying that sounds like a meal that you get a steakhouse, they could have just ordered him brought it to him.
Yeah, exactly. That's probably all he wanted. He's like, they gave him the menu. There you go.
Yeah. I mean, if they can have Domino's Pizza brought in there, which a lot of them do, they can go get Outback.
Oh, yeah.
or I guess back then it would have been Bennigan's, but
yeah. What year was that?
I'm not sure. I think he was put down in the early 90s.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Bennigan's, Perkins.
Hold on. I'm going to Google him real quick.
Yeah.
By the time we get done with this, there's going to be no point to do our episode on him. He was born in 62.
Mm.
He was executed. Yeah, it could have easily been Outback, because he was put down in 2016.
Oh, okay. Yeah, could have been.
Old Stark.
Could have been the Aussie platter.
I'm wondering if this is the same guy I was thinking of. I think it was. Huh. Yeah, because I remember saying something about it, Tampa.
Yeah.
But okay, carry on.
And it's a lemon meringue. You couldn't have the key lime pie.
I'm not big on sweets, so I would have left out the dessert, but
me neither. I mean, just like every now and then it's like, oh god, I have a Snickers, man.
Yeah, every now and then. Not very often.
True. True, true. So Mr. Harris here steps into the gas chamber at San Quentin. On April 21st, 1982, he became the first man to be executed in California. 92. Yeah. What did I say? 82?
You said 82.
Oh, 10 years. In Cal, he was the first man to be executed in California for 25 years. Harris had committed a bank robbery in 1978, but his death sentence was for the murder of two 16-year-old boys from who he had stolen a car to use in the getaway.
Nice guy.
Yeah, right? It's like, give me your car. Wait, there were 16-year-old boys? These two 16-year-old boys had a car? Huh.
I had a car in the 1990, I was 19.
Yeah.
I'd been driving since I was 15.
This is 78, so, yeah. Wonder what kind of car it was.
I'm thinking of 78 Impala, one of those big old tanks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the boats.
Yeah.
Yeah, the roadway boats.
Or a Thunderbird.
Yeah, you can have a party in the back seat. That's how freaking big they are, man. Like a dance hall. But,
that gets the discotheque.
Yeah, my first car was a motorcycle. So I kept it simple.
My first car was a 1978 Pinto that was calico. It had been like it was brown, white, red, and black. It had been like pieced together with different things. But the fucking thing had a 302 in it. The whole car looks like shit, and I'm pulling up the Mustangs, and sometimes I would win, but if I didn't win, I would still give them a run for their money.
Yeah.
a freaking calico multicolored Pinto.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, man, I could see that too. It'd be like, yeah.
You know what the Ford should have done? You know how they came out with that electric Mustang that doesn't look anything like a Mustang?
Yeah, I think I saw bits and pieces for the picture of it, and so I'm like, that
looks, it looks like a Pinto.
Yeah.
What they should have done is brought back the Pinto and saying, this one's electric, it won't kill you.
Exactly. Exactly. But don't get it wet or else the battery will blow up.
Yeah.
Of course, that'll happen on any car, but that's electric. But do not add water.
So it was a Gremlin?
Yeah, right? Hey. There you go. Almost similar, too. Hey,
yeah, really.
Yeah. Don't drive after midnight and don't get it wet.
Don't get it wet. Ford's gonna sue us.
Right. Oh man.
But the Pinto is a horse. So it wouldn't have been made that much of a stretch of the imagination to make that electric car the new version of the Pinto. The new safer version of the Pinto.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, aside from the batteries, it'd be very light, you know. That's the only thing that's weighing the vehicle down. It was such a small car.
We'll put that old electric 302 in it.
Yeah, you go.
I mean, do they even make electric 302s? I don't know.
Well, a Tesla, if you put it on Ludacris.
Is that for real?
Yeah. Yeah.
They call it Ludacris Speed?
Actually, I think I remember Musk. I think Joe Rogan asked Musk if he was going to add another setting called Ludacris. But there's Plaid. There was a plaid setting to it.
That's awesome. I want one now.
Right?
I wonder if they make it an electric Winnebago.
Can I tell you what? I forgot what the heck he said. He there's like a 4-hour episode with him with Joe, and he was talking about the car, and it's like you can get from 0 to 60 before you even pass and get halfway through the intersection. Because the torque on electric motors are incredibly stupid cool.
So stupid fast. If they ever come up with like a like some sort of additive fluid that you have to put in there, they'll have to call it liquid Schwartz.
Yeah. Yeah. So Robert Alton Harris, one of the officers who apprehended Harris, was the father of one of the victims.
Whoa.
Ooh. Oh, man. Though the officer himself would not learn this until later. Harris requested and received a 21-piece bucket of KFC, two large Domino pizzas, ice cream, a bag of jelly beans, and a six-pack of Pepsi, and a pack of Camel cigarettes. Wow.
He died with a stomach ache.
Yes. Those jelly beans. One of them were Jelly Bellies. Man. Six pack of Pepsi.
Damn it. I was trying to drop a freaking Doctor Who reference there, but I couldn't come up with one. You said, I wonder if they were jelly babies.
Uh, 21 pieces of KFC. Wow.
Stomach ache and a heart attack.
Yeah.
You know what? We're not going to execute you. We're just going to give you this exact meal for breakfast, lunch, and dinner for a week.
Mm-hmm.
And you will eat every bit of it, or we will put a bullet in your head.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, a 21 piece would blast me whole. To live alone. So it's like 21 pieces. I could get that. I could buy a bucket of 21 on a Sunday and still have enough to last me till Saturday.
Oh, I know. Now, I got to ask you that, seeing as you're from Florida, best fried chicken.
Maryland fried chicken.
Wrong. Publix,
man. You do have, yeah. Publix chicken is pretty good. I mean, we've got Popeye's chicken down here.
Yeah, I like Popeye's. Now
popping everywhere. But you know something? To be honest with you, I think I've only had Popeye's chicken maybe twice at most in the last 40 years.
Damn.
Yeah.
I've had it a lot more than that, but you know, my pecking order goes pecking. The best puns are the unintentional ones.
Yeah. It wasn't just a drum beat, but that was a riff.
Anyway, my pecking order is Publix, Popeyes, Bojangles, KFC, and that's about where I stop. I don't like Maryland. I don't like churches. Well, actually, no, I don't think I've ever had Maryland. It's churches that I was thinking of. Churches, it's disgusting.
I think I've had that once, and it was like the last. There was so much grease and oil in it. Mm-hmm. It's like, whoa.
But if Church's Fried Chicken wants to sponsor us, I love Church's Fried Chicken. Yeah. It is the best fried chicken ever made, and it puts Publix to shame.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there used to be a Maryland Fried Chicken in Groveland, Florida. For the longest time, and I think there was one in Winter Garden. If it's still there, I doubt it. But it just you don't see them anymore.
There's one somewhere that's been there for like decades, and yeah. I can't remember where it is. But anyways, speaking of, but did you finish up with your guy?
Yeah, that's the end of Harris. I mean, he kind of. Yeah, and that pack of Camel cigarettes to top it off. So, yeah, if I had that much grease, I'd be like, yeah, give me a pack of cigarettes.
Or a bottle of Omega 3.
Yeah. Yeah. My Lanta and a cigar.
Yeah. Speaking of KFC, Clarence Ray Allen, his last meal was buffalo steak, KFC, fry bread, and I think you already said him, didn't you?
Yeah.
Okay, my bad. All right. Oh, yeah, the guy that looked like a Native American.
Yeah, the Native, right. Yeah. The buffalo guy.
All right. All right, here we go. He's a mean-looking motherfucker, too.
Who's that?
The
Indian?
Clarence Ray Allen.
Oh, Clarence? Yeah.
I'll go with the next one. Joseph Rudolph Wood III. Usually takes around 10 minutes to end a life by lethal injection. But in the case of Joseph Rudolph Wood III, it took 2 hours. And reports claim that he gasped and snorted for like an hour and 57 minutes after receiving the IV poisons. Wood had been sentenced to death for the assaults and murders of Deborah Dietz and her father, Eugene Dietz, in August of 1989. Wood's final meal, eaten at Arizona State Prison Complex on July 23rd, 2014, was just 2 chocolate chip cookies.
Cookie!
That's the cookie monster.
Yeah.
They didn't say what the size of the cookies were. I've seen some chocolate chip cookies that are
pretty huge. Didn't say where he got. It could have been 2 of those pizza-sized cookies that you get at like the food courts and malls.
Right. That's probably why it took so long to freaking die. He had to freaking had a freaking sugar high.
Oh, God. So, yeah, he was, this guy was a, lost my place. Yeah, he just, for some reason, the name Deborah Dietz and Eugene Dietz sounds familiar to me.
That does sound familiar.
Might have heard of this case. I listen to a lot of podcasts because of my job.
Mm.
So, you're up.
Let's see. Trying to see here what we got. I might as well just take the next one. That way we don't mix them up. Go all this random stuff here. I'm just making sure it's not an ad.
Yeah, right.
You got so many advertisements in it. Okay, there we go. So
yeah, and if these people putting these ads into these pages want us to read the ads, they're gonna have to pay us too.
Oh yes. Yeah, so, definitely.
Otherwise I'm just gonna scroll right past them.
All right. So let's see, is this Philip Workman?
Yeah,
Philip Workman. Maybe time in the cell actually does change you. Philip Workman was executed on May 9th, 2007, after murdering a police officer who dealt with a robbery of a Wendy's. His last meal request was a vegetarian pizza that would be donated to a homeless man in Nashville. Interesting.
It's pretty cool.
While in prison, he denied the request. While the prison denied his request, several homeless shelters in the area received pizzas in response to Workman's request.
I don't know why they would deny his request.
right?
I mean,
I don't know. That is weird.
What I find a little bit humorous is the fact that he robbed a Wendy's, and he had to have killed somebody there to get the death penalty. But he robbed a Wendy's, and his last request was a vegetarian pizza that he wanted to give to the homeless.
Yeah.
Like, no meat for you, homeless guy.
Yeah, it's like, okay, you're going to rob a Wendy's. Now, was he planning on, obviously he wasn't planning on buying anything or getting anything from Wendy's, you know, like, ah, you know, make pretend I'm getting a meal or something like that. You know, the only thing vegetarian would be fries.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, depending on what, you know, if he's that picky and depending on the grease, I mean, most oil and stuff like that is fried peanut oil or, you know, vegetable oil or, but I don't know. It's weird. Unless they had one of those Impossible burgers.
I've never tried one of those.
Me neither.
I'm not going to.
Me neither.
I don't trust Burger King after that that black bun that they came out with. That. So. So Christopher Brooks. On December 30th, 1992, 23-year-old Jodi-Ann Campbell let Christopher Brooks sleep on the floor of her apartment. She knew the guy, and they had previously worked together as camp counselors. on December 31st, Campbell was found dead. She had been raped and beaten. And Brooks was arrested and convicted. And 23 years after years of appeal and everything, he was executed by lethal injection. He says his last words were, "I hope this brings closure to everyone involved. These last 2 years have been amazing. I hope to see you soon." Yeah. I mean, apparently this guy had a fan club. Yeah. But two Reese's peanut butter cups and a Dr. Pepper.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, didn't take him that long to die. At least they didn't mention it, because that was a lot of sugar.
Yeah, not as much as the two freaking cookie factory.
Exactly.
Those things are good too. Those big cookies that you get, especially when you get them right out of the oven.
Ooh, oh man! Good stuff. Yeah. Every time I see the ones, the three packs at like Bob Evans and stuff like that, especially if they come right out of the oven. Ooh, man. Mm-hmm. Yep. So let's see, Brandon Astor Jones. The standard issue final meal in Georgia when Brandon Astor Jones was executed comprised chicken and rice, rutabagas, seasoned turnip greens, cornbread, dry white rice, bread pudding, and fruit punch.
That sounds horrible.
Yeah.
If I was in the position to where I would have to have the last meal because, you know, something that I did, I'd be like, if that's what you're going to give me, just take me out back and shoot me.
Yeah.
Let me eat some dirt. Probably tastes better than that.
Yeah. I'm looking at the picture too. I'm like, whoa.
Oh, I know that doesn't, shoot. That looks like something like that you would find in a snooty cafe in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It looks like one of those Asian dishes.
Yeah, it does. What did he do?
So as Jones did not request a special meal.
Oh, okay. So it was available.
This is what the 72-year-old prisoner was given.
So that's what was on the meal from the. That was on the meal for the prison kitchen for that?
It must have been, yeah.
Okay. I'm a fish. Color me confused.
It's like, what? Okay.
Here comes the required photo bomb.
All right. So after being convicted of robbery and murder of Robert Tackett in 1979, Jones became an accomplished death row writer. He wrote an autobiography and a manuscript of historical fiction and several shorter essays and articles.
No cookbook, though.
No cookbook.
No. People are digging that episode, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the crock pot.
You killed me on that one. Cookbook. You killed me on that one, dude. That was just, I was, did not see that coming. Hadn't even thought about it. I'm glad I didn't have a sip of beer in my mouth at the time because my microphone would have ruined my microphone. God, that killed me. Episode 90, people, if you haven't heard it. Dahlia and Mike DiPolito.
Yeah.
Great episode. One of the most insane stories we've covered. And nobody dies in that one.
Yeah, I know.
Nobody dies.
That's what's really cool about it. I'm like, ooh. But it was a lot of interesting, good criminal innuendos in there. Definitely. Interesting nuances.
So Earl Forrest. In December of 2002, Earl Forrest visited the home of Harriet Smith. He had provided her with contact for buying meth and believed that she owed him a mobile home and a lawnmower in return. And I'm sorry, but Harriet is not a name that I would associate with a meth head.
Yeah.
The situation escalated, and by the time Forrest was done, three people were dead. Smith, her friend, and a police officer who had attended the scene. Before his execution by lethal injection 12 years later, Forrest ate a steak, pasta, sliced cucumber and tomatoes, fruit, chocolate cake, and milk.
What?
Yeah, milk?
The milk goes with the chocolate cake.
Not with a steak, though.
Yeah, well, hopefully the milk was like after.
Maybe he ordered an iced tea and whoever wrote this article didn't feel like bringing up the iced tea.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Mm.
Or maybe he didn't drink anything. There's times I'll eat, you know, I'll be like, nah, I don't want anything to drink. And then I'll actually drink the water or something or, you know, afterwards, after I'm done eating.
I can't drink water with food.
Yeah.
No, I just can't do it. I drink a shit ton of water every day, but I can't drink. I have to have either a soda or like an Arizona iced tea or a beer or something. It can't be water.
Yeah. You want me to do the last one?
Is this the last one? Ooh. Yeah, because my blood pressure just skyrocketed just looking at that picture.
Yeah, we could stretch it out to this will stretch it out to about an hour after.
Well, there's also a handful up through there that didn't cover either.
Yeah,
but I know there was a part one, and I'm pretty sure there are in this one as well.
Ooh. Yeah, I'm looking at that picture.
Oh. Yeah. Better call an ambulance.
That already gave me my coronary.
Yeah. Bill and Paul from CKCP both just had heart attacks from looking at a picture.
So one of the largest death row meals to feature in this list was that of Stephen Michael Woods Jr. He ordered 2 pounds of bacon.
Right?
I'm looking at that. Is that actually four? That doesn't look like 4 pounds, though. Or 2 pounds. That doesn't even look like 2 pounds. I mean, 2 pounds is a lot. But
Bacon? Yeah.
Yeah.
It was 2 pounds before. It was 2 pounds prior to cooking.
Probably. Yeah. Four fried chicken breasts. Yeah. A large 4-meat pizza.
Ugh.
Man, what's all the meat? Jeez.
Pork, pepperoni, ham, and probably sausage. No, I don't know.
Five chicken fried steaks. Whoa. 2 bacon cheeseburgers. Two bacon hamburgers. Dang, he didn't even have cheese on there? Was there something wrong with him?
Well, he had a spill of cheese with all the pizza.
Yeah. Fries. A dozen garlic breadsticks with mozzarella, with marinara. 2 each of Mountain Dew, Pepsi, root beer, and sweet tea, and 2 pints of ice cream.
He was trying to make a mess.
Yes.
I guarantee you he was trying to make a mess.
Yeah, and I doubt he ate all that. I mean, unless this was a really big guy. I don't know. There ain't no picture of him on there. There's a picture of the food.
There's no picture on him?
Okay. Yeah, there's no picture of him.
Yeah, because okay, what was his name? Let's see what he looks like.
Stephen Michael Woods Jr.
STEPH or STEV?
STEVN.
Stephen Michael?
Yeah.
Was that his last name, Michael?
Michael Woods. Michael Woods Jr. It's a 3 name.
All right. Yeah, he was a fucking boxer.
Yeah.
Really scary looking motherfucker. We're covering this one. What did he do?
Wow, it only started off with that. Well, how much of the food Woods ate that day was not recorded. A short time later, on September 13th, 2011, Woods was executed by lethal injection for a murder which he maintained to his last breath had been carried out by another man. I didn't say.
Maybe we'll cover that one. I'll at least look into it.
Yeah.
I mean, he looks... Some of the pictures I saw him, I mean, the picture of him with boxing gloves on, he's got like an afro.
Huh.
But the pictures of him in prison, he kind of looks like Rocky did in the first 2 Rocky movies.
Yeah.
I mean, it just.
So he was a very, very fit guy.
Yeah. So he might have eaten all of that, but I still stand by it. He was trying to make a mess.
Yeah. Yeah, but man, that's a lot. Whoa!
I would drop dead of a heart attack eating a third of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, just one of everything. Yeah. But he had like lots: 2 bacon hamburgers, 5 fried chicken steaks,
2 pounds of bacon,
2 pounds of bacon, 4 fried chicken breasts. Oof.
See, man. I'm actually allergic to pork. That was a very sad day for me when I found out that I was. But I was always, all through my life, I've been like nauseous after eating any type of pork, whether it's bacon or pork chops or sausage or whatever.
Yeah.
And I always, it's just the grease. Well, I had an allergy test done on me at the doctor, and turns out I'm allergic to pork. So I stopped eating it.
Yeah.
And I accidentally ate it probably about a year later. I had gotten some chicken and gravy at Cracker Barrel, not realizing that their gravy is made from bacon grease.
Oh.
And when you are allergic to something and you cut it out for like a year and then all of a sudden you reintroduce it, it ain't pretty. Oh my God. I thought, and we're talking minutes before I was just like doubled over in pain. My stomach's like doing cartwheels and all that stuff and everything. I'm sweating and I'm just like, oh my God, never again. I mean, I can eat pepperoni on a pizza.
Yeah.
But that's just, that's not, there's pork, there's some pork in that, but not very, I mean, it's also, it's like a blend of other stuff too, not to mention everything else that you're eating it with. You know, yeah. So I can still have pepperoni on a pizza. Thank you. Know, I mean, I was very cautious about eating pepperoni pizza after that, pork allergy.
Man, I haven't eaten pork in probably, it's going on 2 years now, just a little over 2 years.
Yeah, it's been that for me too, since the Cracker Barrel incident. Take out the Cracker Barrel incident and pepperoni on a pizza.
The Cracker Barrel incident, that sounds like a spooky title to something.
Well, there is a true crime case called the Cornflake Murder. And we covered that one. That was the last episode that Todd was on, and it was a really good, crazy story. The Cracker Barrel incident, it sounds like it could be a true crime story. Right? my stomach thinks so. Right. I got one more, and we'll wrap it up.
All right.
This one's gnarly. I can't remember what he ate, but just the crime, gnarly. Gerald James Bordellon. It's never a good sign if you literally have the word Bordello in your last name.
Mm.
Wait, Bordello has two L's in it, doesn't it? Yeah, I think it does.
I think so, yeah.
But still, it's Bordellon. Huh. This guy's a piece of shit. Well, they're all pieces of shit. But in November of 2002, who the hell names their kid Gerald James? I'm going to name him. No wonder he grew up to be a freaking murderer. He had a tongue twister for a name.
Oh, look at his face, man.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got a face like, man.
But anyway, he kidnapped and sexually assaulted and murdered his 12-year-old stepdaughter, Courtney LeBlanc. He was arrested and convicted and sentenced to death. The usual path in modern times is a death sentence will involve a prolonged period of waiting and appealing while the authorities make sure that no mistake is made. Mistake was made that in your train guy, and they waited. Well, they didn't wait a long time to put him down, did they?
No.
But Bordellon wasn't interested in that. He said that if he was ever released again, he would commit a similar crime again and requested that his sentence be carried out ASAP. He was given a lethal injection on January 7th, 2010, after eating a fried socolate fish.
Saccolate.
I don't even know what that is.
I have no idea what that is.
Saccolate fish, but I love seafood. I'm going to Google that. Hold on. Saccolate fish topped with crawfish etouffee.
I don't know. Skip it.
Peanut butter and apple jelly sandwich and chocolate chip cookies.
Oh, etouffee. An etouffee.
Bless you.
Thank you.
All right, let's see. What is... Okay.
I guess what he was eating had the... let me see. Yeah. Bordellon. Bordel, if it's truly French, it's Bordelion. So yeah, he probably wanted to go out with the a French dish.
It's Cajun. Sack of milk is the English interpretation of sacolate, the Cajun French name for crappy. The fish are called white perch in northern Louisiana, but they're so esteemed for their it's fried fish, fried crappie.
Yeah.
Okay, I just never heard to it referred to as sacolé.
Wow,
I've had fried crappie. For freshwater fish, it's not it. It's just freshwater. All freshwater fish is bland.
Oh, yeah, very.
Yeah, you got to get some of that mahi. Well, crawfish is freshwater too.
True. And then he had a peanut butter and apple jelly sandwich, and chocolate chip cookies.
Cookie. Another cookie monster. Oh man, but I'm not. I don't know. He might be worth a half pint episode at some point, but
yeah,
I don't know. The only definite that we have here for its own episode is Oscar Ray Bolin.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Arity, maybe, but you know that's a one-off murder they didn't even commit. But. Anyway, well, I don't know if there will be a part three to Prison Tender last meal episodes. There probably will be a part two of Prison Tender, though.
Yeah,
definitely. And but probably, I think this article, as long as it was to cover two hour plus long episodes on this podcast. I think we're pretty much done with last meals.
Yeah. I might bring up something on a, for a later episode for the subject of the history's most evil women.
Are we going to profile my most recent ex?
I don't know. I'm not sure. She might be similar to some that are on the list.
I don't know that she hasn't killed anybody.
Exactly. But maybe some of the women in history that we cover on here might
something. Wait. Hold on. Her dad was also a truck driver. And her dad worked with a coworker of Oscar Ray Bolin.
Ooh.
So she says.
Yeah.
I wanted to interview her mom about that, but it never happened.
Yeah.
So, but yeah. Cool. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. We shall never know. But those are the things that just make us go,
things that make you go,
and doors we shall not open.
Yeah, so you know, I was hoping we had one that would have a bowl of cereal, because I had a thought earlier today that would have been perfect, and I don't see it being worked into any other episode so I'm just going to drop it now and then we'll wrap up.
There you go.
Okay, this is a commercial that was out a few years ago, and people that have been listening for a while know that I pretty much hate commercials. I think they're stupid. I think they're an insult to our intelligence and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Especially fast food commercials. But this was a cereal commercial, and it was for Fiber One.
Good. Colon blow.
had this married couple. They had like a 13-year-old son. You know, and they're trying to discuss, oh, he'll never eat this. Well, he should. It's good for him, but that's why he won't eat it. You know, and but the sun comes out and the wife says, oh, we've got this new cereal here for you, honey. And this kid looks like a typical freaking middle school douchebag. Yeah, cool, whatever. Yeah. You know, like one of those.
Yeah.
And what's it called? And she's about to open her mouth, and the husband grabs the box and he puts his hand over FIB and Fiber One. And he says, it's a new cereal called, it's number one. Number one. See, number one. Like, this commercial came out a couple of years ago. Kids aren't running around going, I'm number one anymore. They haven't been for at least 20 years. But the guy's like, the kid's like, okay, cool. So he tries them. Oh, this is good. I like it. And then the husband and wife look at each other like, whew. But okay. Now, aside from the fact that this thing had a number one is going to pique a present day 13-year-old's interest.
No.
When he grabbed the box, he covered up the letters FIB and then he fibbed.
Wow.
I don't know why that popped into my head today, but it did, and it reminded me of that commercial, and I was just like,
I don't think I've ever seen that commercial. I always remembered the old Mikey. Oh, Mikey will eat it.
Mikey likes it.
Yeah.
So
for those who were born back when, you'll know what I'm referencing.
I was born in 1992. Yep. I'm 30 years old with 20 years experience.
Yeah.
I don't feel like I act like a typical 50-year-old. But then again, 50-year-old today is not what 50-year-old was back in 1990.
True.
It's not. We look younger at this age. We act younger at this age. It's not our voices. I mean, listen to my voice. You know, every time I mention my voice, like if somebody happens to hear an episode for the first time when I mention my age and everything, he's 50. He don't sound 50.
there's a lot of radio personalities out there that, you know, you don't, they sound, you know, sound really young, you know, sound like they just got out of college or something like that. But then when you see a picture of them for the first time, when you've been listening to him for a while, you're like, what?
Yeah.
And a guy's like in his 60s or 70s.
Yeah. You know, well, that's going to be us in with this podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I'll be like freaking smelling like Ben Gay and freaking, you know, trying to get out of the freaking studio chair and yeah.
Hey, I don't know.
Having to mute all the cracks so every time your bones move. Like, oh, edit that out.
All right. Well, thanks a lot for listening. We appreciate the hell out of it. Close it out with your
definitely, outcome. definitely. And everybody, please, this is your first time listening, please like, share, subscribe, comment, and listen to wherever you listen to your podcasts.
And if this isn't your first time listening, but you haven't done all that stuff, do it.
Yeah. Do it anyway. Do it.
Do it.
Do it.
So anyway, until next week, later.
Later on. See you then.